This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding forth again at this time on Old Dan. Come on, Dan, get up. Let's get it getting. We're way behind schedule here. Times are getting. And you folks out there, would you stay tuned for a few minutes and listen? The Old Trailblazer is anxious to get out and get the gospel going. The Bible says to preach the gospel to all ye the ends of the earth. And he says, for me, told me, gave me this scripture. He said, preach the gospel. To rebuke and reprove with all longsuffering. That's what we do, yet with a heart of pathos. We're looking at a study in the book of Revelation, and we're coming down to the close. We've been there a long time, coming down to the end. But we're looking at the character of the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. As we've said often, Satan will be bound, cast into that bottomless pit with all of his angels and all of his demon spirits. And there's no language, I don't have the language, that can describe what this world will be like when there's no more satanic influence. There will be no one to stir up hate and passion and strife. As a result, there'll be universal peace, as Christ, the Prince of Peace, will rule supremely according to Micah 4:3-4. Listen to what it says. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and they shall learn war no more. Now, we saw that in our last study, but listen to this statement. There will be no world peace until the Prince of Peace returns. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes over this world, then and only then, there'll be no more armies, no more navies. The ships of war will rust out and rot out there in the naval yards, wherever they are. Guns and cannons will be molded into implements of agriculture. No political graft. Won't that be great? Oh, here in our own state of Louisiana, we have more political graft, I believe, than any other state, or maybe all the other states put together. It just seems like it's a nature. I saw a bumper sticker not long ago, said we have the best politicians that money can buy. And I believe that's true, my friend. But at this time, when the Lord reigns on this earth, there'll be no more of those such things. There'll be no strife between labor and capital. Politicians, there'll be no such a thing. There will be no hunger. Oh, now won't that be a gracious day? Won't that be a gracious day? I heard one of these agencies the other day on the radio saying that in this country, we have 10,000 children go hungry every day in America. There'll be no more starving children, no more cry for bread during the reign of our Lord. Listen to God's word there in Amos 9:13. He says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Listen again to Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall therefore rejoice and blossom as a rose. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Can you imagine? A farm boy can, or farmers up there in the Midwest where you raise cotton, or you raise corn and all of those things. And it says that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. The reaper still out there gathering, and here comes a plowman. In the third chapter of Genesis, after man had disobeyed God and had been driven out of the Garden of Eden, Jehovah Jesus said to Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. Then in Genesis 4:12, we noticed that God cursed the earth again because of the sin of Cain. He said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. But according to God's eternal word, that curse will be lifted during the thousand years reign of Christ on earth. For in Romans 8:20 we find these words, for the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. Oh, listen, we think about the farm. Our farmers supply food for many, 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 many nations here, and yet they're lambasted on every side. And I saw another bumper sticker the other day that said, don't grumble, with food in your mouth. Don't complain with your mouth full of food. No, because that's a terrible thing to do. But in the scriptures, we find that I believe it means back there, before the curse of the ground, there was no need for fertilizer, for agriculture. The ground just brought forth plentifully. But I believe in this day of 1,000-year reign that there will be no more need for those fertilizers that we use today. Be no more chemical plants spewing out their poisonous gases and all those things, making products that we surely need. And I have no complaints about that. But listen, my friend, listen. We look back there in the Lord, in because the curse will be lifted. And let me go back and find my place. Now it says in the 22nd and 23rd verses there, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This means that when Christ comes back and the dead in Christ are raised, and when Christ takes his place as the rightful ruler and monarch of this earth, he will lift the curse from the creation which was placed on it because of sin. Then the earth shall yield her increase, according to Isaiah 55:13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign shall not be cut off. And according to Joel 2:24, the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. It's hard to conceive that marvelous changes, those marvelous changes that will be wrought out in this earth during the reign of our Lord, here in person. Would you get that? In person. In person, my friend. You and I will see the Lord as he is. You and I, we can't even get an audience with our little local representative. They're always busy. They don't have time to talk to you. No more our state senator or our national senators and congressmen. You can't get an audience with them unless you have some political axe to grind. No, but listen, I cannot cease to praise the Lord, because I look forward to that time when we will see the Lord. It may be soon. It may be later. But as a blood-bought, blood-redeemed sinner, I will rule and reign with my Lord. Oh, with all other blood-bought sinners. You who think you're so smart, smarter than God, will not have Christ to rule and reign over you. You'll be locked up in the pit during that time, according to God's word. Regardless of what man may think or say, the greatest and the only thing that matters is to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. I often tell my folks here, no, there's nothing worth going to hell over. Nothing in this life. Your social standing is not worth going to hell over. Your pride, all of your learning, all of your those things that you spout off that you know so much, all of your elegance, all of your social standing, all of your wealth, all of those things, doesn't mean a thing in the world, my friend. It's not worth going to hell over, is it? Now, let's notice the changes that will take place in the animal kingdom during this personal reign of our Lord. Turn to Isaiah 11, if you will, and read. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in any holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The curse that fell upon creation as a result of man's sin, and man's fall upon the animal creation also, but this curse will be removed from the brute creation during the reign of the Lord on earth. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Oh, my friend, listen. Now, did you notice that one expression? And the dust shall be the serpent's meat. the curse would be lifted from all the brute creation during the thousand-year reign on earth, except the curse that God placed on the serpent in the Garden of Eden. The serpent shall still continue to make dust his meat. The Lord will never remove the curse from Satan, his angels, and the demon spirit. This serpent, being so closely connected and allied with Satan, will never have the curse removed. Therefore, the individual who never turns to Christ for salvation, who bore the curse in his own body for the sinner on the cross, will always be under that curse. Now, my friend, that's a startling statement, isn't it? The serpent. I had never thought of that until I began to study these verses. The serpent will always be the serpent. He will always be crawling the dirt on his belly. The question has often been asked, what about the human life during these golden days of the personal reign of our Lord? In Isaiah 65:20, we find these words, There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Now listen, you want me to go back and quote that again? There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. It means that a dying sinner being 100 years old, listen, it means that a person dying 100 years old shall still be considered a child, and only those who sin against God in disobedience will die. Speaking about the length of human life during that time, let's look there at Isaiah 65:22. We'll go back in it in our next study, but it says they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, oak tree, are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hand. Oh, my friend, what a day that's going to be. I've mentioned to you before, I can't fathom those things. I can't explain it to you no better than the Bible can, but I believe it. I believe it. I often hold up my Bible in my hand and say, this is God's word. Believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it and go to hell. Oh, my friends, folks, get on me for saying that. Satan gets on me. Satan sits here in my little old studio and sits on my shoulder and says, don't use that word, hell, trailblazer. Don't use that word. You're going to offend somebody. Well, the scripture says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. The scripture, I can't say no more than the scripture said. Oh, my friend, it says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Oh, don't speak of that judgment day. That'll make folks cry. That'll make folks feel bad. But listen, my friend, that's coming. That day's coming, the judgment day. And we used to have that song, the old song we used to sing when we was kids. And they called it A Wreck on the Highway. And one of the verses said, there'll be, I heard nobody pray. I saw the blood and the whiskey, but I didn't hear anybody pray. Do you hear anybody pray today, my friend? Oh, listen, I don't hear anybody pray. If we could have one prayer today, that the Lord would open our eyes to see our people going out into a devil's hell, we'd be on our faces day and night, 24/7. But I know that's not going to happen. Only the Lord can do that. But I wish you would help me with the broadcast, if you would. If you want to get out the gospel, then if you need tracts to give out, you write me. I have many, many titles by Pastor Shelton, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. You put in the jail and the hospital. This is the old trailblazer. Remember my address, Post Office Box 60-6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye, and God bless you.